getting down to our last few lessons on the series that we started out actually back in December on birth, life, and death. The last time we talked about comfort in death in itself, physical death, and really embracing it. And the next month is going to focus really on the reason why we started this lesson, this series, and that's because of what Jesus did and his death. And then I was going to go into the resurrection, but we just had a resurrection. I might pivot to something else, but who knows? It probably doesn't hurt to do another lesson. But today is the one death none of us wants to endure. And that's spiritual death. You know, have you ever thought about what it would look like if you were in the middle of a still maze with no way out? There's no way to leave this place. And you put yourself there. Now, could you imagine going through all these different scenarios of how can I get out of this situation? And there's literally no way out. Well, that's exactly what being in a spiritual death state is. There's absolutely no way out. And you put yourself there. You know, spiritual death, it's the end of all of us. And if you go through that fate, it's for an eternity. And then you'll want to look back and you want to change your fate. But the problem is you can't. There is no way out of spiritual death. And so today's lesson is to take a look at spiritual death and why we would not want to be ones to go through that. Because if we do, we're going to be second-guessing our lives. And we have an example, in which I'm going to start out with, of someone who second-guessed the way he lived his life. Turn over with me to Luke 16. Story we're all familiar with, starting in verse 19. It says, "Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.' But he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone comes and goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead." And so if you see, you know, the rich man's in a situation, and he's looking back at his life now, and he's recognizing his condition. But notice, though, in 26, he can't leave. He cannot cross over to get to the other side. And neither can those on the other side course, those on the other side would definitely not want to cross over. But see, here's the problem, though, is that he recognized his condition, but it was too late. And so for us, the time to recognize if we're going through this spiritual death is right now. It's absolutely right now. It's not tomorrow, and it's for sure not when you're dead, because then it's too late. You know, Jesus wants us to recognize here that, look, you can live your life the way you want to live it. You can have enjoyment in this life, but it could come to a cost of a spiritual life in which you will not have any enjoyment whatsoever for the rest of an eternity. We're going to spend a decent amount of the time in Revelation, because when you think of spiritual death, Revelation is really the book that talks about it the most. Turn over with me to Revelation 2. You know, these are the letters to the churches, and specifically towards the end of the church to Smyrna, there's some comments. There's a verse made that kind of splits out the two lives here that we want to see in the Spirit. Go with me to Revelation 2. Let's just look at starting in verse 8. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last who was dead has come to life, says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are you a synagogue of Satan? Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life." Look at verse 11. It says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death." And, you know, the whole book of Revelation, I've talked about this on multiple times, it's you're either going to live for God or you're going to die against Him. And whether you want to take the book as during the Jewish downfall or during the Roman downfall, it's the same exact situation. It's the same exact message. But it's also the same exact message for us today. You're either going to live for God or you're going to die against Him. And those who choose to live against Him and die against Him are not going to have a life that they're going to enjoy when they actually see God. Because God's going to tell them, "You should have focused on Me when you had the physical opportunity to do it, but instead you chose another way." But see, here's the thing, though. We're going to have to go through something twice. We're either going to have to go through two deaths or two lives. And everyone in here does not want to face two deaths. Nobody wants to go through a second death. But there are those that will. And the way you live your life will dictate whether or not you're going to have two lives or two deaths. The second one of either way is for an eternity. Turn over with me to Revelation 20. And actually, let's start at verse 7. It says, "When the 1,000 years are completed," and in the book of Revelation, 1,000 years is just a definitive period of time in which God's period and His ending of something is over. It's not a physical 1,000 years. And when maybe one day we'll do a study on Revelation, we'll go through those numbers. And the number 100 or 10 is just like 7, but more definitive in terms of it's a perfect number. And so really what you see is there's a period of time in which these things that have taken place are completed. And then it says, "Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore." So here we see Satan's influence is going to go get those on this earth based on his message, and it's going to convince those to not follow God. And it says in verse 9, and they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night and forever and ever. So you see here that those who are followers of this message that Satan wants you to believe, you're going to lose. There's no way you can win. No matter how many there are, you're going to lose. Because God's word, God's message, and ultimately his followers are going to destroy you. So if we know you're going to lose, what does this book want you to recognize? Be on the winning side. Let's continue on. It says, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great, and the small standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the book, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were all judged according, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was written not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So we see that this judgment here, that our lives and our deeds are going to end up dictating where we're going to end up. And we see that throughout time, that all those who have died, those who have are in this waiting period, this Hadean realm, and those who are still alive, those who at one day will all die, will all go and face God on the day of judgment, and he's going to look at our lives and he's going to tell us, you're going to go through a second life, or you're going to go through a second death. But I don't know about you, but let's look at what's in that second death. If you go back to verse 10, it says the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented there day and night forever and ever. And at the beginning of verse 10, the devil. Do you want to be for an eternity with people like that, with a being like that? With those who have been against God in this life? Because if you choose a life that doesn't follow what God wants you to do, those are the people you get to spend an eternity with. That may be great. You may want to do that. But I don't know about you, but I just read the rich man was in a lot of pain and just this little flame that he was in, waiting for this day of judgment. I don't think I want to be on that side. And so it's important for us to recognize that we need to look at the way we're living our life and ensure that on the day of judgment, our life continues for an eternity with nothing but enjoyment. Go with me to Revelation 21:8. Look at who else is going to be there. You know, it talks about, actually, let's look at 7. It says, he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Look at verse 8, and who's also in this this eternal death that you have no way out. But for the cowardly, and unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we see here that this death, this second death, it's one that we should not want to choose. And it's also one that we need to make sure that we get ourselves out of if we are on that path. Because if you don't, it's going to be too late on the day that you die. And we want to make sure that that's not the day that we come to recognition of that. Because if we do, I mean, there's no way out. There's nothing you can do to change it. Turn over with me to Daniel. you know, the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, has a lot of the same symbolism, which why you can see those that determine that have a feeling that the book of Revelation deals with the destruction of Jerusalem because of the symbolism between the two. I'm always on the fence. I can see both sides of it. But as I said, regardless, the message still remains the same. Let's start in verse 1. Daniel 12, verse 1. Daniel 12, verse 1. It says, "Now at the time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress, such as never occurred since there was a nation until the time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. These to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase." So looking at verse 2, the end of it, "and those to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt." And this is Daniel, in which when we think about the Old Testament books, there wasn't a whole lot of talk about truly the ending and of our spiritual lives. It was more about the ending of this old law. But what we see, though, is that there's still some recognition that there's something about our lives that's going to change at some point. And it's the ending of it, but it's also the start of something new. And the start of something new is either going to be good or bad. And there's only two places that you could really go. And as we're thinking about our lives and where we want to end up, it's all going to dictate on the way we live our lives. And, you know, we talked about, and I've talked about this a lot, that we can write down on a piece of paper things we don't do. You know, I don't steal, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't murder. And those are great. But we, a lot of times, forget to write the things down that we don't do enough of. And that's being kind, being gentle, being friendly to everybody, praying to God, really giving your all to every day. You know, that is what showing a Christian is to those in this world. And that's the piece of it that we need to make sure that we're growing in. And it's easier said than done, because things in this life can go through and cause you to do things you wish you didn't do, wish you didn't say. And you have to work through those. And if you don't, you're going to get caught up and then go back down that same path where, oh man, now I'm lying, now I'm stealing, and now I've got idolatry in me, and because I'm worshiping these things. It might not be a different God, but it could be something else taking you away from God. And so we just need to make sure that we're always on point and that we're focused every day on how we're living our lives. And if you go to John 5, John chapter 5 and verse 28. You know, this is the same, it's really the same thing that we just read, but, you know, Jesus is saying, look at verse 20, it says, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." So there is no doubt that we are going to have one or two options. And the one thing that we can sort of conclude with this study, and I do want to, there's one more reading we have, but The one thing that we have to make sure we're not going to do is throw this life away and take it as a joke and really take it as for granted. Because there's no way out and it's forever punishment and torment. And it makes it easier to recognize that if we don't, if we live a life towards God, then we're not going to have to worry about those things. And it's going to be a great life that we're going to have. And we talked about last time how we all should be ready and embracing death. We really should be. I mean, none of us should be fearing death at all. We should be embracing it. I mean, every one of us should be ready to go home at any time. And, you know, God uses his word to guide us away from those things that we shouldn't do. And, you know, so we really need to make sure that we can connect to it. But then the question comes up and goes to, when should I make this commitment? When should I say, you know, that I'm going to do this? Is it tomorrow? Is it in a month? And I think we already talked about it, but let's go to 2 Corinthians 6 for a minute. And we'll make a point on it, and then we'll read something else, and then we'll call it a lesson. 2 Corinthians 6. Second Corinthians 6, starting in verse 1. It says, "In working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. But now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving cause for no offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of the truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold, we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things." So we see right here is that everything. So right now is the time to recognize it. Right now is the time to actually commit to it. But notice though, it's in everything that you do that you make these choices and that you commit to this. Whether the good things, the bad things. Whether the positive things or the negative things. Everything you should be committing to this, and everything should make you happy and excited. And you know, verse 10, look, it says, "You may be poor, but yet you're rich because you know what's happening in the life after this one." Go to verse 17. Actually, let's look at 16. It says, "Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said." So basically saying that, hey, you can't be a believer and an unbeliever. You can't do this and you can't do that. You got to pick one. Look at what God said. He says, "I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore," so how does God know if you're with him, if he's with you, if you're his people? Look what he says. "Come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome them. And I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Separate. So if we really want to see our differences and where we're heading in life, it really is about the difference in how we live around those in this world. It's like, are we actually fitting in? Or are we standing out? And if we're standing out, I think we're doing a great job And I want to go back to what I read last week about really our motivation. And, you know, this is a story that really kind of hits home as to why we should really want to go to heaven, why we should be ready to embrace death, but also why we want to have a spiritual life. And it really talks about, you know, we talk a lot about what Jesus has done for us in giving his life, and that's great. But God's the one that gave his son because he wants us home. God didn't have to do any of this. But God created us from the very beginning because he loved us. He loved his creations. And he's always wanted us to be with him. And so as you're thinking about that and as you're going through this life, this is called The Other Side. And I read this last month, but we'll read it again. And it says, a sick man turned to his doctor, and as he was preparing to leave the examination room, he said, "Doctor, I'm afraid to die. Tell me what lies on the other side." Very quietly, the doctor said, "I don't know." He says, "You don't know? You, a Christian man, do not know what is on the other side." The doctor was holding the handle of the door. On the other side came a sound of a scratching and whining. And as he opened the door, a dog sprang into the room and leaped on him with eager gladness. Turning to the patient, the doctor said, "Did you notice my dog? He's never been in this room before. He didn't know what was inside. He knew nothing except that his master was here. And when the door opened, he sprang in without fear. I know little of what is on the other side, but I do know one thing. I know my master is there, and that is enough." So every one of us, it gives me cold chills reading this. Every one of us, if you are not ready to see your father, I don't know what you're missing. I mean, you don't know what you're missing. You're missing out on a lot. You know, every one of us had an earthly father. And, you know, some fathers were not great. Some were great. But you got a heavenly father that's amazing. Because he's created everything that's around you. And I know one thing, is that the place he has prepared for us after this, there is no doubt we're going to be so glad that we chose to be with him. And just like this dog, open the door and spring into his arms, but you've got to do it right now. You cannot make any more connections to this world and think that you're okay. You're just not. It's not going to work. Make that connection now outside of this world. Be different. Be separate. And then spiritual death will run far away from you because you're going to have spiritual life. And if there's anything that we can do to help get you right on the path of spiritual life and out of spiritual death, we'll use this time to come forward as we stand together and as we sing.